I'm all about the kids, raising the kids. You said you have four. What do you do to keep them grounded? I mean, because you know, obviously you have the limelight on you as an individual.
Oh, what I do to keep my kids grounded?
Yeah.
Well, I'm mean to them. Oh, no, that works.
That works.
No, just kidding. I mean, I got to say, my kids are pretty grounded. We never talk politics ever, ever. I don't, you know, my kids hate politics, actually. They associate it with rancor and division, and they really don't like it. They grew up in Washington, so, you know, they've had enough of it. But we spend a lot of time together. I talk to them, all four of them, every day.
How old's your oldest?
Almost 24.
Almost 24?
Yep. And my youngest is 16, and I've got a 19 and 21-year-old in there. And I talk to them. We spend a lot of time together. We all live together in the summer in Maine. I do my show from there. That's really helpful. We travel together. But, you know the real truth, which is I have a really solid wife. So that kind of makes, you know what I mean?
I don't care
how great a father you think you are. If your wife's not on the ball, it falls apart.
Right. Same page. I was very fortunate. When we were having babies, we agreed one of us would stay home to raise them.
So did we.
Since we could afford it. And thank God it was her, because that is a brutal job. Right?
I never could have done that.
Oh, no. No.
It's so funny. We didn't agree to that. I never thought about it. I grew up in a single parent household. I grew up in a bizarre household. So I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. And my wife was going to go back to work. And when our first child was born, and she goes back one day and she's like, I'm not doing this.
Right.
And she stayed home, you know, it's 24 years ago, and it actually, I'm not judging other people's decisions, but that was the best decision we ever made.
Oh, certainly for the kids. Certainly for the kids.
And for us.
Right.
Because there's no competition. Like, she's doing stuff that I couldn't do.
Right.
So it's not like we're both working at the same investment bank and, like, competing for a promotion. It's like, I come home, it's her world, and I'm like, wow, you've done a good job.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and plus the kids have that attention when they need it, especially, I mean, everybody thinks they need them when they're babies, but it's that, you know, 10 to 16, 17-year-old, the parents are so influential.
100%. Like, I think my kids think I'm pretty funny. I really like them, actually. I get along with them. I was just on the phone with one right before I got here. But if there's a problem.
Right.
Like, oh, man, I need to do this. Like, you know, they're not texting me.
Right.
You know, they Mom, sort of know. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Right. Oh, big time.
Right. Now, so again, just a little research on you and your background. You ever serve them Swanson TV dinners? Anything like that?
Right.
Did that ever come into play?
No. That's so we're Episcopalian, so we specialize in not talking about things.
Okay.
It's one of our great strengths. And so we really believe in guilt and silence.
Right. With what's going on, you make a big point about the middle class. And they seem to be missing the understanding of what these tax cuts in theory should be doing for everybody. What do they need to do different so that people actually recognize that some of these benefits are actually, I hate to use the word trickle down because that has a negative connotation to it, but really is going to influence and impact them in the long haul in a positive way.
Because
Republicans seem to be missing the boat on getting people to believe that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they can never sell their own story ever. They're not good storytellers. But the number one thing, if you want to convince people things are fine, convince them their kids are fine. It's the number one thing.
Right.
If they think their kids are entering a world that's dangerous, where everyone's on drugs, where they'll never make as much as you made, well, they're not going to be able to get married. You're not going to have grandkids because the economy is so screwed up, your kids can't afford it. I don't care what you tell them. If they see that, they're like, this is not going the right direction.
Right.
People are very sensitive and finely attuned to the fortunes of their own children. So improve the lives of their, you know, past a certain age, you don't care. You know what I mean? I've got a house. I don't really sort of need anything else. I want my kids to be successful. I want them to marry decent people. I want them. I don't care if they're rich, but I want them to have happy, secure lives.
Right. All you want them is to be as happy.
That's all I care.
Right.
That's be happy. Literally all I care about.
Right.
And most people are that way, I think.
Right. I agree. So you had mentioned earlier about the fact that Donald Trump is transforming the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Kicking and screaming, but changing
that.
That's
for sure.
What happens when he's done, when he's gone, be it at the end of 4 years or at the end of the 8-year period, what happens to the Republican Party then? Because they have this leader that is dragging them kicking and screaming.
Exactly.
What happens?
Well, the current leadership believes, that's such a great question. I think about it. I don't know the answer, but the current leadership believes that Trump will go away and they'll go right back to 1996 again.
Which is stupid.
Well, they're stupid.
And you can't undo it, right?
Of course not.
Right.
They're stupid, obviously. But the problem is there's no obvious heir to Trump.
Right.
There's no one who's saying the same things on the national stage. I think people will emerge. I think the Republicans are about to get spanked pretty hard in the midterm elections. And there's nothing like failure to get you to rethink what you're doing.
Well, it didn't do so well for the Democrats when they lost.
Well, actually, it didn't. They went insane. You're exactly
right. Right. You would have thought
No, you're exactly right. But the Goldwater loss in 64, where Republicans were repudiated by voters, got them to think about, well, wait, maybe we should be conservative.
Right.
And then they elected Reagan, just not many years later. So, I think it may be helpful, but there's no person, if Trump were to resign tomorrow, Mike Pence. I mean, I like Mike Pence, but he's not carrying the same torch.
Right. He doesn't have that charisma.
He doesn't have the same ideas.
Right, right. Absolutely. Tucker, wonderful conversation.
So
really
fun,
appreciate
Mike.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here today. Good luck with that book of Ship of Fools. Absolutely wonderful book to read.
I appreciate that.